All right, so today we're going deep on this Galveston place called Roberts Lafitte,
Okay.
and really trying to piece together its history. We've got all these city directories and old Houston gay press clippings, even some newspaper notices.
Fascinating stuff.
Yeah, so ready to dive in.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay, so first things first, what's the very first mention we find of this place?
Well, looking at these Galveston city directories and also the telephone directories too,
Right.
we see Lafitte's popping up in 1965 at 305 Rosenberg.
305 Rosenberg.
And it's interesting, that spot is actually an empty lot now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So just totally gone.
Totally gone. But the owner listed back then was a Calton LeBlanc.
The block, okay.
And really importantly, it's not there the year before in the 1964 directory.
Okay, so 1965 is like year one.
Seems to be the very beginning.
And then we see it popping up in these Houston gay publications.
Right away. Yeah, by the summer of 65.
Like the Albatross.
Yeah, the Albatross, exactly.
So it's advertising alongside all these other Houston gay spots. And even some out-of-town places, too.
That's interesting.
Yeah, you know, thinking about these publications, like the Albatross back then,
Right.
I mean, they were so vital
Yeah,
for
absolutely.
the LGBTQ plus community as communication channels.
Yeah, a way to build
It's
community.
their information.
Exactly. And it looks like Lafitte's understood that right away.
Yeah, and it's not just a one-time thing either.
No.
By October of 65, the Albatross actually runs a whole review.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, talking about how popular the place is
With locals,
with local
visitors,
visitors.
praising the atmosphere and the management too.
So making a splash.
Really make it a swag.
Okay, so then what happens?
So fast forward a few years and things start to change.
Okay.
By the summer of 68, the Albatross lists the bar at a new address,
Okay.
411 25th Street.
Okay, so they
They
moved.
moved.
And then
Then in August of 1970,
70, okay.
we see this other publication, the Nuncius, and they report that a Robert Maynor
Okay.
has taken over the bar in May of 1970.
What?
And the club is renamed Robert's Lafitte.
Oh, so that's where that comes from.
That's where the name comes from.
Now, what's interesting is we see some later stuff that mentions a 1969 opening under Robert's defeat.
But then a lot of the anniversary celebrations, they reference 1970.
That's weird.
It is a little strange, isn't it?
Yeah, what do you make of that?
Well, you know, maybe Robert's takeover wasn't just a change in management.
Yeah.
Maybe it was like a total shift in identity for the club.
So significant that they kind of reset the clock,
Yeah, exactly.
anchored it to that moment.
Right. And the Nuncius article from 70 really gives us a glimpse of what Robert brought to the place.
Oh, yeah, what's it say?
Well, it talks about his drag performances.
Oh, fun.
Apparently, he did a mean fanny flag.
No way.
Yeah. It also mentions his time at a place called La Caja before this.
Okay.
And it emphasizes the welcoming atmosphere and the late hours at Robert's Lafitte.
Sounds like a happening place.
Oh, yeah.
So then what about these legal notices you mentioned?
Yeah. So in April of 75, we see a legal notice in the Galveston Daily News
Okay.
for KD Maynor Enterprises, Inc.,
Okay.
which is applying for a mixed beverage permit.
So they could serve liquor and stuff.
Exactly. And this is for Robert's Lafitte at 409 Rosenberg.
Wait, so another address.
Another move.
Wow, these guys got around.
They did. And then that June 1975 marks the fifth anniversary of Robert's ownership.
Okay.
And they have a big 4-day celebration advertised all over the place.
Wow.
In the local papers, even in Contact Magazine.
So they were really making a name for themselves.
Oh, yeah. Throughout the mid-70s, Robert's Lafitte at 409 Rosenberg is like the gay spot in Galveston.
And then they move again.
Well, in October of 76, there's another legal notice in the Galveston Daily News.
Oh.
This time, it's a reapplication for a mixed beverage permit for Robert's Lafitte at 213 22nd Street.
So that's like what, their fourth location now?
It is.
Wow, they really kept things moving.
They did. And then in 1980, there's a mention that the club had been at its present location for 3 years since a fire.
A fire?
Yeah. But unfortunately, that specific note doesn't give an address.
So we don't know exactly where they were then.
Not from that particular source.
But it's clear this place has a really interesting history.
It really does. And Robert Maynor's impact is really cemented by him being featured in that 2015 documentary.
Oh, right. I remember seeing that.
Yeah. So to recap, we've got Lafitte's starting in 65 under Calton LeBlanc,
Right.
gaining regional recognition almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Then the big takeover by Robert Maynor in 1970, the renaming all those moves in the mid-70s.
Yeah, and it's really interesting that they keep celebrating that 1970 anniversary, even though the club technically opened in 65.
Yeah, it really makes you think about how Robert's leadership shaped the club's identity.
Absolutely, and those early descriptions of the drag performances and the sense of community
really paints a picture.
Yeah, it really does.
So thinking about all this, all these different addresses.
The fire, new ownership, the name change.
What stories do you think the walls of Robert's Lafitte could tell about its journey in the Galveston community?
Yeah, what a fascinating thought.
I mean, imagine all the people who walked through those doors over the decades.
The history they witnessed.
The changes they saw.
What a legacy.
What a legacy indeed.
And that's our deep dive on Robert's Lafitte.
Until next time.